Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Rahimi and Harris. 10 to 2 on 670 The...
We're broadcasting live from Gallagher Way until 1245. Very important public service announcement that Marshall Harris put the people to. There's a lot of people out here. We got some speakers.
Attention all Cubs fans. Have you voted for your Major League Baseball All-Star team yet?
Okay, we got a woman in front of us saying yes.
She's saying yes.
What is your name? Pat? Pat is voting.
It's a lovely name.
Pat
have
has
you
voted.
Been like Pat, and have you voted?
This year, I don't have any influence over the vote since I don't have a vote.
She says she's voted many times.
Too many people around here are not like Pat.
All I have to say is, ay caramba.
These two guys have voted. Hey, you voted for Cubs. That's the job.
If you vote for me, all of your wildest dreams will come true.
The All-Star Game is a popularity contest.
Are you popular? Do you want others you like to be popular? If the answer is yes, we have a solution for you.
The voters are asphyxiated with quarterbacks.
Asphyxiated.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's a Grody Day.
It's Grody time, yeah!
More Mark Grody.
Mark Grody. Mark Grody.
Ah, Grody.
We'll go next to Mark Grody.
Are you from the Source?
That is right. That man's music means that he is in the building. Mark Grody is here. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score with Mark Grody. It is a Monday, because sometimes in the summer, you lose track of what day it is. We broadcast to you live from The Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Our producers are Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, Brandon Fryer as well, helping out. And then you can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. And our producers are Brian Gertsch and Connor O'Donnell. You can also text us at 312-644-6767. You can call us too, and we take our calls. And I'm already laughing at one of the texts from the text line, even though it was to the Mully and Haw show. It's referring to what we're doing at 11 o'clock. 708 says, rumor is Matty Eberflus is still in Detroit, waiting to use his final timeout. That is a burn. We begin, though, talking about the Cubs and them taking 3 of 4 over the Pirates this past weekend. It was low scoring, but they got it done. Is this the offensive output I expected out of this team? No. Is this the pitching performance with the bullpen as well that I expected out of this team? No. I'm happy about one.
But is this the result you expected in the win column, 3 out of 4?
Indeed it is.
Yes, and if I told you, hey, they're going to win every game that they play this weekend, except for the one Paul Skeen starts, you'd be like, okay, I'm good with it.
Yeah, playoff Layla wants more. Like, playoff Layla wants the Cubs to go toe-to-toe with Paul Skeens at home and hit. And at least walk. Like, that's my other concern. Just walk a little more than you have been against the Aces and the tricky lefties.
Well, they
playoff
did.
Layla is in June 16th today, so I don't have to worry about it entirely yet, but I'm keeping track.
They did force a couple of walks against Paul Skeens, who also had 95 pitches. And I know some of that has to do with the 5 strikeouts that he had. But quite frankly, the Cubs have handled Paul Skeens this season very well. I thought the Cubs had, previous to this Paul Skeens confrontation, which was on Friday, they had him flustered the previous time where he walked 4 and he was out quickly. So relative to what Skeens had done against the Cubs last year, If we're really breaking down that Friday game, I liked what they did against Paul Skeens, and I liked what the Cubs got out of Cade Horton that day, even though it was a 2-1 loss, and it took the Pirates 10 innings to beat the Cubs, you know.
Well, the thing about Paul Skeens is it's fine, because if you go back to that previous matchup you're talking about, no one scored more runs or hit more home runs in a single appearance off Paul Skeens than the Cubs.
Yeah.
They had 3 home runs. They scored 5 runs the last time out, and the most important part of that, the thing that they had in common with both of these outings that Paul Skeens had against them, is he did not pitch past the 5th inning. And if you can just get him out 5, that means you've got 4 innings of non-Paul Skeens to get stuff done. Now, the bad news is, Layla, they were unable to get anything done once they got Paul Skeens out of the game.
And that's it, is you know that with teams like the Pirates, it's not just that they're the last place team in the division, but that's where you're really going to make some hay with any offense. You know, the Aces are going to have their days, and we've talked about the numbers. Unfortunately, they continue against the Cubs' numbers against Aces and crafty lefties are not what you would want to see. And I'm not even talking about crafty lefties necessarily, just lefties who are good at their jobs overall. Like, we've seen that over the past, I would say, month now. Is that a trend that continues? I'm not sure. Would I like to see more walks though, regardless? Yes. That also very much goes for facing subpar bullpens. And so when we talk about the weather, I think had a definite factor in the Cubs game against the Pirates on Friday, but you want to see more when this offense, which is still one of the top 5 in baseball, should be playing better and taking advantage of the bullpen arms that are facing them with more walks, with more just people getting on base in general. And that's something that I think you do want to see more of. You know that the inning changes for the guy at the plate if somebody else is already on base in front of him.
0 for 10 with runners in scoring position in that Friday game for the Cubs. There were twice they had runners on first and second and nobody out. And altogether out of that, they ended up getting 1 run. So it's got to be better than that for sure. Like the Friday, and I guess offensively, absolutely, it's going to have to be better for the Cubs. But I will just say this. I have been, I don't really know how to word this properly, but let me see if it comes out right. I have been comfortable with the Cubs during this offensive slump that they have been going through.
And you're using air quotes there.
Right. Yeah, that's fair to point out. If you're not on Twitch right now, I did use air quotes throughout that because they are still winning these games. They are still playing competitively. The only non-competitive game that I've seen from the Cubs, let's go back to the Washington, Philadelphia, who was the other, Detroit road trip. I thought there was only one really bad game, and that was the game against Philadelphia, the 7-2 loss where Lizardo struck out 10 Cubs in that game. In other words, they're not winning all of these games, like going back to the road trip when the offense was struggling, but they are playing close against these Aces, and the Cubs with struggling offense and wind blowing in, like it just keeps doing at Wrigley Field, by the way. There's been more wind blowing in games at Wrigley this year than wind blowing out. It's not even close at this point to win 1-run games, albeit against a bad team. You got good starting pitching and good bullpen out of the Cubs, so that's what gives me comfort throughout what is, again, air quoted, a comfortable time of struggling for the Cubs.
Comfortable struggling. Well,
comfortably numb and comfortable struggles.
I want to know how comfortable you are, because you could say I'm comfortable with it, but how comfortable? So you have no...
Maybe it's better to say I'm not uncomfortable with the Cubs. Like, I don't feel like, uh-oh, they're resorting back to last year, they're resorting back to 2 years ago in terms of their approach at the plate, and they're not doing the things, taking walks, stealing bases, what's going on?
Well, they only had 3 walks on Friday.
It's a problem.
As a team. Like, and that not against Paul Skeens. I'm saying as a team.
Yeah, right. 2 against Skeens, though.
But here's the other part of this, is I think it's worth kind of clarifying your point in that, number one, these games are the games that the Cubs were, quote, built to win, end quote. with, I would say, the 2023 roster. You know, you remember like...
You're saying these games here against the Pirates?
Like the spine of the defense. And, you know, how big it was to have solid veteran at catcher where you had a Gold Glover. At the time, it was Tucker Barnhart. And you really wanted that,
that up the middle.
You know, it was catcher. It was shortstop, second baseman.
Here comes Patrick Wisdom. Yeah,
so now what's really funny is they do have that. But you also need the other things to win more of the games.
Yeah.
You know, that's the part that makes it a complete team.
The fact that Mark says he's comfortable with it and he's not uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But that's very different here on the 16th day of June than it would be if it was in September, let alone if it was August, October, all of these things. Here's why. Because what playoff Layla was just talking about, close will get you out of the playoffs. Close is cool in June,
right?
But close means your season's over in September and October.
815 is on to something. Playoff Layla wants to ask the Cubs why they couldn't get Devers. We will address that at noon.
Oh, yes, we will.
815, you are in it.
No, I'm with him on that.
So. All right, so 815, thanks for Playoff Layla and sometimes Playoff Marshall.
Yeah. Now, look, I think, first of all, the team is going to the playoffs. I don't know if it's going to be as a wild card or a division winner. I would think division winner, but I'm not as...
I think it has to
come
be.
Come on.
I'm not
did you just
sold.
See what the NL West just did?
That's a question for you right now, Marshall, whether the Cubs would win the damn division.
Here's what happened in the NL West yesterday. It was like, hey, we traded for Devers. Cool, Shohei Ohtani starting tomorrow against the other NL West team you're concerned about.
Yeah.
Like that. Then in 15 minutes, it was like, wait, what? Oh. And I'm like, yeah, no, there's going to be one team out of the Central in the playoffs, my friend.
No, I don't think so, because I think all those teams, they got to play each other. They do get to play the Rockies. I'm not ignoring that fact. But they all four of those teams have to play each other. Even if you look around right now.
It's a balanced schedule, though.
I know. Well, still 13 times is 13 times. And I think when we look at what the Cubs are doing right now, we expect one of these teams to fade. Now, I could be wrong. If the Cardinals and the Reds and the Brewers are all above 500 when the season's in, then you're probably right. It is just going to be one team, because that means there's been a lot of infighting, if there will. But if you look at what's going on right now in the West, Arizona Diamondbacks have not just quietly gone away after the Corbin Burns injury. They're still over 500.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that at this point
by
in the season.
By a game. Yeah. Yep.
This is Raheemi and Harris on 670 The Score. We are joined today by Mark Grody, who is kind enough to grace us with his presence again after cheating on us.
I got transferred last week, is what happened.
Layla, to be fair, we said it was an open relationship.
We did.
That's true.
Also, I too would float on shows before I had a permanent home, so I can't really criticize you for that.
You understand? See, I think I'm actually competing with Matt Spiegel, for whom I was filling in, along with Lawrence Holmes. I think I'm competing with him for person who has worked with most partners at The Score in our lifetime. So
Spiegel,
I'm coming
can
for you.
Name them,
I'm
he?
Coming for you. No, he can't. He can't name all the people he's worked with. I don't know if I could either. It's very difficult.
My list is very short.
But those guys are back today, by the way.
Also,
Spiegs and
together?
Lawrence. Back together. I believe
Lawrence
so.
Lawrence did the solo show on Friday after
the
Cubs game.
Oh, yeah.
I would also like to point something out.
Yeah,
to credit the spine of the Cubs defense that they tried to build and then actually built.
Yes.
Sorry, this is my notebook. And
this
is a bookmark that was like a flyer in the mail, so I just use it as a bookmark.
You just went aggressively to the bullpen bag just now. Layla had... She has something for us.
First of all, I have note cards with lots of stats.
Look at you. Look at
but
that.
Secondly, it was the stat that they pointed out on the marquee broadcast about how the spine of the defense is working. Nico Hoerner leads all second basemen in defensive runs saved.
Yes.
And man, did he save another one yesterday.
Top of the 10th, it was a beautiful play that he made to stop what would have been an RBI single from getting through the middle. And then, of course, the Cubs walk it off in the bottom of the 10th. Listen.
Yes.
How about PCA, speaking of defense, making another play?
Well, the problem with PCA...
The spine of the defense is doing a good job.
It's bingo.
But, guys, the issue
with nothing, PCA.
Watching PCA...
Like it's nothing and now.
He makes it look too easy.
He does.
So, O'Neill Cruz hits that ball, and you're thinking, okay, that's a problem. But the way PCA in stride not only gets faster and faster, but when he catches the ball, just naturally slows down. It's not like he was making some really quick play. It was just like, this is what I do.
Yeah.
And oh, I no, glide.
Yeah, the good ones make it look effortless. Like, peak Luis Robert made it look effortless. O'Neal Cruz is like, that ball's where? Give me a half a second. Yeah, same with PCA. Like, there's a body type now for the all-star center fielders.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, you see it happening in front of us.
He's starting to do the thing again, too, that he did that I didn't like because he wasn't hitting when he started playing with the Cubs, where he catches the ball, like, down by his waist, like, just kind of trying to be fancy. Kind of makes me a little nervous, but I'm like, okay, you know, he's kind of earned that. If he wants to bust out a little bit of the flash when he makes these catches, I'm willing to allow for the flare. Yes, I said the flash. You say the flare. I say the filth and flar. That's right.
No flagellants in there.
No flagellants.
Okay, yeah. You're working a lot.
I had Eddie Murphy doing Bill Cosby in my head, but I'm like, I can't do it because I might swear if I do it, because it's hard to do Eddie Murphy shtick without using the F word. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I just saved our lives.
So you went with alternate F words.
Yeah.
So he approves his message.
Yes, I'm going to stop talking now before I say the F word.
No, continue to talk. Here's the overall picture. You talk about that defense, because we've talked a lot about the pitching, specifically the bullpen and how they've been over the last month plus. Best in baseball. Lowest ERA, lowest whip. Best in baseball. But that defense is what's really keeping them alive.
Right, because if they make one of those, not even mistakes, if you have, for example, in that 10th inning, an average second baseman that hasn't had the defensive numbers that Nico Horner's put up, you're talking about a different ball game. Yeah, we're talking about all of this very differently.
Hey, man.
But because that defense has actually come through in a way that is consistent, you're getting the team that you actually said you were going to build. But that's the challenge here, is that I'm trying to illustrate. You thought you were good in 2023 with that team. We know what happened. You still need stoppers and boppers. You still need Kyle Tucker. You still need Seiya Suzuki to play in kind offensively. You still needed more offensively out of everyone. And so that's how you put together the body of work to get to the playoffs right now, especially in the National League. Like, is it ideal? No. But is one level of your team picking up where another one is leaving off? That's when it's really good. And they still are in the top five among baseball in both average and in home runs hit. It's just the gap is getting wider now when you see teams like what the Dodgers and the Yankees are doing.
Yeah, well, I mean, I look at this series and I say, first of all, they did win 3 out of 4, and we'd all like it to be a lot fancier against Pittsburgh and not have to go to 10 innings for 2 of the games, one of which you lost. But if you go through every game, something really good and encouraging happened for the Cubs in every game. And I get it, there's no participation trophy, but Jameson Taillon continues to crush as he did on Thursday. Cade Horton looked so good even though they lost on Friday. That's the Paul Skeens game. Saturday, Matthew Boyd continues to be this unbelievable. I'm beyond the point of calling him a revelation. He's just good right now. And then obviously yesterday you get great stuff from the bullpen. Actually, Saturday and Sunday,
right,
where you had this one run game or tie game. Yesterday was a tie game for 8 innings, right? So you had,
and that was after Pittsburgh got on the board first.
Exactly, like 2-2. After one, right? 2-2 was the score after one. Neither team scored again until, obviously, the 10th inning when the Cubs won the game. So it just felt like, even though the competitor, the team against which you played, was bad, these games felt kind of intense because, by nature, that's what one-run games are.
You can have happen, though, is when you don't have base runners for several innings. In the 9th inning, Dansby Swanson gets on base, and that was the first Cubs base runner since the 3rd.
Yeah, that's rough.
Like, that's where you're saying to yourself, this is not the offense that you guys wanted, and how many times is that going to happen before you're saying to yourself, what needs to change here?
Well, what does need to change when the wind is blowing in at Wrigley as it does every day?
You like, walk. The Cubs, you need to walk more.
I just think that's a tough trick to turn, like, on a dime. Like, when you're a hard-hit ball team, you're a contact team, and all of a sudden we got to skid and stop and change the way we play baseball because Wrigley Field won't cooperate.
I know we're up against it, but listen, the 2-for-22 with runners in scoring position over that 4-game series, that's not the biggest issue going forward. The biggest issue going forward is You played the team with the lowest OPS in all of baseball, and so your pitching might look great against them, but what's it going to look like this week?
Well, yeah, and oh, by the way, when I mentioned the top five teams hitting for average in Major League Baseball, the Phillies are number two. So that gives you an indication, as we saw what happened last week. We have more coming up here on Raheemy and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score. Let's talk about that Cubs bullpen, who is almost quietly doing what you've asked them to do for years. That's next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
You're listening to Raheemy and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Presley's ready. Here comes the payoff pitch to Horowitz.
Swing and a miss, strike three.
Now the 1-2.
Swing and a miss, strike three.
As Presley gets Canario with a heater, two away.
Gonzalez goes the pitch, swung on and miss. Foul tip into the glove, strike three, Cubs win.
They beat the Pirates 2-1 as Palencia locks it down.
That was Zach Zaidman calling on The Score. Zach, Ron, and Pat are your Cubs broadcast team. We love to hear them. This is Raheemy and Harris on The Score with Mark Grody. We continue to talk about the Cubs, who took 3 of 4 from the Pirates and now get a day off and then a casual, you know, little series with the Brewers coming up.
Layla, it's their only day off in a 27-game stretch. I mean, that's insane, first of all, but also it's time to find out what's what.
Let's play a game. Would you like to play a game?
Would you like to play a game?
Thank you. You did this much better than me.
Shall we play a game? Is that what you guys are doing?
Oh, is that which one?
War games.
Yes, is that what you guys are doing? War games.
Matthew Broderick and whatnot?
Any of them. Pick your analogy or your reference.
Okay. Was that your reference too, Marshall?
No, it's a Marvel movie, right?
No, it's Scream, but both of those are valid.
That's amazing. I didn't realize. I thought you initially were doing War Games, but you were doing Scream. Okay.
Maybe it was a mashup. Because she said it the way she said it, and I was like, would you like to play a game?
It's
because they got the little voice. They got the little
which
voice.
I would have conflated with Chucky. Isn't Chucky the one that likes playing games, or is that Freddy?
I think you are correct about it being Chucky as well.
Freddy likes games too. 1-2, buckle your shoe. That whole thing. He likes
pick
games.
Pick your trauma-inducing game.
I was going Saw. That's where my mind went.
Saw.
See, I
love a little torture.
Why are we like this? Why are we like this where we watch things that make us nervous when life is already nervous? I just need to know.
We all want to live on the edge.
So we're playing the game.
So back to the game you would like to play.
Yes. The game is you have 26 games in 27 days. And you get one off day. But it's before you play the Pirates, or before you play the Brewers, the Mariners, and then the Cardinals, and then the Astros. Does that sound like a day off to you? I would like to know.
It does sound like a day off because every team you face from here to the All-Star break will have a winning record and be in the playoff mix.
No, really? Oh, St. Louis, they scare you guys. 37-35, seven games back.
Wow.
Who are, like, you keep talking about this.
Do you
want to
do this?
Oh, no, you really think Milwaukee
do you want to do
at 39-34, five and a half games back
it's
is
a simple
like
question.
This, like, some,
you,
like, oh my God, it's the Brewers.
You should always respect the standard bearer of the division, which hasn't been the Cubs.
I get it, but you guys seem to have.
They just called up a pitcher who throws like straight fire flames.
You guys have a disproportionate fear of these teams.
It's not fear, is it respect?
It is not fear, it is respect.
What are you respecting about the Cardinals right now?
I respect the fact that they're three games out of a wild card spot in a very crowded National League. Also the fact that they have a winning record to this point of the season. Have they played the Cubs yet? No. When will they play the Cubs? The Cubs' 79th game of the season.
Right.
That comes next week.
And that's how they get their comeuppance when that day comes.
You're real confident of our guy.
I am. I don't think the Cardinals are very good, and I have come to look. I'm the guy who every year has a Freddy Krueger like fear of the Milwaukee Brewers. They ain't that anymore.
I have a question.
I'm sorry,
Grody. I have a question for you. Yeah. Do you think the Brewers are better than the Cardinals?
I do think the Brewers are better than the Cardinals.
Then why did the Cardinals just beat them 3 out of 4?
I have no idea. I can't explain why. Why did the Cubs only beat the Pirates by one run and have to go 10 innings with them twice over 4 games? You know the Cubs are way better than the Pirates. Sometimes baseball things happen, and that's what happened in that case. So, I just like, when I think of like torrid schedules to look I would think more like the Dodgers or San Francisco or one of those. Like, I'm not looking at this as quite the gauntlet.
Oh, the Dodgers that, team that the Cardinals just took 2 or 3
The Brewers had a lot of injuries. They basically traded a starting pitcher that most teams would use for spite. Like, they picked up Andrew Vaughn to make a statement. Like, right. I respect what they're doing. And the Cardinals won multiple games in a row against teams that were very good. They also were the first team to beat Paul Skeens in a very definitive way earlier this season. I don't count any of those teams out.
I'm not saying that they're out at all.
That's
all
what I'm you made it sound like.
What I am combating right now is this, oh my God, look at the schedule. I'm not... You're right. These are good teams that they're taking out, but I don't look at
the point.
You're making it sound like this is like the do or die stretch. Here it is. The gauntlet has arrived.
I just don't think it's relaxing.
Wait. Time out. If this is not the do or die gauntlet of the schedule, then when is it?
Because I have no idea.
Hold on.
I'd say it's probably a gauntlet of games in August or September, maybe.
Let's look at August.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Why don't y'all do
Orioles?
That?
Orioles. You know they're going to be better by then. No, I'm kidding.
That's Reds at home.
Okay.
At Cardinals for 3, okay. At Blue Jays for 3.
Those are some pretty tough teams right there.
But the point
home
is
home against the Pirates. And
oh,
then
you never
Brewers,
know what the Pirates are going to be doing by
4.
Then.
Then you're at Angels at Giants, but then you're at the Rockies for one of Marshall's favorite series. The number one with the Rockies being Cubs-Rockies, but Sox-Rockies, but still.
By the way, are the Pirates
I would not count August as a part of that.
I didn't realize Adam Frazier was back on the Pittsburgh Pirates. So they got Adam Frazier back. They've got Andrew McCutcheon back. There's this whole like reunion thing going on with the Pittsburgh Pirates right now. You okay right now, Marshall?
There's some drilling. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was like, is that a phone? Is that what is
oh,
that?
Oh yeah, that's some drilling.
Some
I think
construction. Yes.
Yeah, I got a guy contractor a couple floors up doing a little bit of work.
So
for
back
us,
to your
yeah.
Adam Frazier
it's
question.
The Alan yes. Nero
yeah,
interview.
Yeah. The Adam Frazier question. Well, not necessarily the Adam Frazier question. I guess we should get back to what we were talking about, and that is the fear. This fear that you have of the Cubs schedule.
No one is scared. Layla, are you scared?
I just
scared.
Said I wanted to play a game. Yeah. And then Grody took it to an extreme.
Oh my God.
Because it was horror movies mentioned then.
See, that's the problem with these horror movies that you kids all watch. is that they induce fear when that's not necessarily the case. Like, essentially, the Cubs asked the Pirates, would you like to play a game for 4 times in a row? And look how that turned out.
Yeah.
No, y'all just went to the scary place.
That's true.
But I don't, it is a day off. But you're still facing a very challenging schedule in front of you. And here's the realistic truth, is that it's a National League and it's not as easy. But I think that's why what we've seen is so good out of, say, the bullpen.
Yes.
It's been Major League Baseball's best over the last month. The bullpen you asked for is here. It's just maybe not what you pictured it as.
Is it because it's a bunch of people that you would say were off a proverbial scrap heap? That have come in and been a part of this when you talk about guys that were on the White Sox as recently as last season?
Chris Flexen?
Yes.
Or say a guy who wasn't in the circle of trust and then got back in the circle of trust, a.k.a. Daniel Palencia?
Or Brad Keller. You can go up and down the list of guys who, Drew Pomerantz, who you did not see as being, this is how the Cubs are going to make sure they have the best bullpen in Major League Baseball, which they have.
Yeah, and how about Ryan Presley, like the rebuild that they have done with him in season to get him back in form, and then all of a sudden...
Still don't trust him.
There it was on Thursday, though. It's a one-run game. Who's going out to... Ryan Presley's up. Ryan Presley goes out there, gets things done in the ninth inning, and closes it out.
But bing bong!
Yeah, bing bong indeed.
No, but listen, I don't trust him.
Don't trust it yet.
He doesn't have swing and miss stuff, and the reason he was out there in the ninth inning is because the heart of the best... three hitters still left in the order were up in the eighth, and that's when he used Daniel Palencia, which is credit to Craig Counsell. That's what he should do every time.
Yeah, like use your best guy against the best players. And I think that's part of what's going on too with this bullpen, no matter who you think should be in there in the ninth inning. And obviously it's been Daniel Palencia, is all of a sudden Craig Counsell has this team in general sort of executing the way it is supposed, like the machine is working, and he's able to now put his input in and say, I like Ryan Pressly here. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put Drew Pomeranz in the ninth inning, as we saw him do on Saturday. I'm going to put Ryan Pressly in. I'm going to put, hey, how about the Saturday game? Pressly in the seventh, Pomeranz in the eighth, Palencia in the ninth, in a one-run game. And then yesterday, you had Flexen, as you mentioned, who was terrific in the 10th, Ryan Pressly in the ninth, Genesis Cabrera in the eighth.
It's Genesis.
Kale.
No, I thought it was Genesis.
I've heard both ways.
Is it Henny?
I think it's actually
Henny Cabrera.
Let me tell you something. If it's pronounced Genesis Cabrera, I will be going with Henny.
I need songs. Henny Cabrera is amazing.
Oh, absolutely. Genesis, man.
I heard on the television broadcast, Genesis.
And I heard somebody say of credibility, it might have been Boog, maybe Zach. I heard Genesis.
You know what's funny about it?
I think
on Baseball Reference, it's Genesis.
He did. It's what?
Whoa.
On Baseball Reference, it's Genesis Cabrera.
Oh, my goodness.
MLB.com as well.
Is it
Genesis?
Ozzie Trapillo? Trapillo?
Actually, it's Zapillo.
Zapillo. It's actually Zapillo.
That's going to be my favorite line.
Where's Chris Emma?
Until something else overtakes it, that's my favorite line. We're actually talking about the Cubs and the bullpen right here on 670 The Score with Mark Grody, Marshall Harris, and Layla Rahimi, and having some fun with something that is fun right now. When you can talk about these parts interchangeably, I do want to make this point. I really think that this is also Craig Counsell knowing his personnel. He knows who is best in which situation.
Yes.
You saw him give Ryan Pressly the appropriate amount of rope. We talked a little bit about it on Friday too, over at Gallagher Way. You saw how he's eased him back in a way that made sense. I think we are also watching in real time his definition of how he views people.
Yes.
Like how he views the priorities.
From
how
week
he
to
views,
week.
Yes. How he views like the high leverage. You know exactly when Palencia is probably being used. Late game, when your heart of the lineup is up, right? Or when you need that swing and miss that you talk about. I am still old school and value ground ball outs, but we know what the flip side of it is, which we talked about. Ryan Pressly is not throwing his slider as much. That is why we're seeing, I think, more him hitting his spots with a fastball command and inducing the outs. But in case of emergency, he's got Palencia.
Break the glass.
And then he's got the Ken or Kel Palm Flex. Like, I'm trying to come up with a name for those three, and I can't figure it out. Is it like Flex Kel Palm? Like,
ooh,
that sounds like something you sell on a made for TV ad.
Do you have room for a porter to be just injected into that? Because he could be back tomorrow.
If you have Porter Hodge, which is essentially making a transaction for somebody who was already of value to you and you get him back from injury, you're talking about a bullpen that most importantly won't require resources at the trade deadline.
Hopefully not. I mean, you probably will add a bullpen arm just because that's what you do if you are a competitive team towards the end. And if you can, the more the merrier. But you're right. And I loved what you were saying, Layla, in regards to Craig Counsell having the personnel in place to make the moves that he has wanted. Like, we've reached that point, I think. Like, 162 games plus the 72 games this year, that's basically what it has taken for Craig Counsell to feel comfort. It was never there last year. There was never a time, except for the very beginning of the season when they got up to like 8 games over 500, something felt okay. But all the while, the Edward Alzolay was heart attack Hector Neris blowing games, and so the season was kind of pulled out from under them last year. But finally, even earlier this season, I didn't feel like Counsell was comfortable. But now it's arrived. So not only do you have this talented team, but the guy that you're paying, what, $9 million a year, the highest paid manager in Cubs history, is getting a chance to manage. And that's what he did in these one-run games. So it was nice to see that.
The most beautiful part of this is if I gave you a piece of paper with the current 26-man roster and shoved it in your face at the beginning of the season and said, hey, this is what the relief corps is going to look like, you would probably flip out. And then I would tell you, by the way, they have had the best bullpen running for a month. At this point of the season, you would say, okay, I guess they figured some things out. Yeah. And that's exactly what's happened.
I mean, we're
going to give credit where it's due. Like, that pin and that defense is absolutely showing you that when they had that in mind, you're seeing its value. You're just seeing its value maybe later than you did, but that's because that's what good teams do. If one aspect isn't there, the other one is. And credit to the bullpen and what we've seen. Now, I know there's a month coming up where we'll really test it. You know, Craig Timber.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We didn't get Craig Timber last year.
No. So, I mean, we got a couple months to go, but we've looked forward to what we've seen so far.
That's right.
Speaking of one-run games, I have a stat for you coming up regarding the Chicago White Sox. They finished their series with a fabulous ejection by Will Venable against the Astros. We'll talk about what we saw, and then also the Rangers, of course, that most being the most recent part of the road trip. And we'll wrap that all up and try to figure out what we know about the Sox new manager as well. That's next with Raheemy and Harris and Mark Grody on The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It looks like Venable's gone.
Will Venable is hot early on. He is giving it to Marvin Hudson. Hudson has blown numerous calls already to start this game. And Will Venable is sticking up for his pitcher. Ooh, buddy.
Well, happy Father's Day to you. I think that was what was said.
Gordon Beckham, you heard John Schriffen on the call on CHSN. Love the subtle Gordon Beckham lines here and there. This is Remy and Harris on The Score with Mark Grody talking about a White Sox team that just finished their Texas road trip.
I don't think happy Father's Day is what he actually said. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that was an inaccurate lip read.
Balls and strikes on Aaron Civale after he walked his third batter that he faced in the game. So this was early on in the first inning, and Will Venable told him what was for.
The best part about that, guys, is that Will Venable, when he actually went off, and the last pitch, which was called a ball, was clearly a ball. But there were other questionable calls along the way to get
so,
there.
So he gets the boot early. And just trying to get out of there early on Father's Day? Is that what was going on?
He's a Hallmark kind of manager. He was ejected on Mother's Day, now on Father's Day. I'll let you know what happens on the 4th of July. Or Juneteenth. I don't know if they have a game on Juneteenth.
They do against the Cardinals. It's a Juneteenth day party.
Okay, so we'll see if he lasts through the game on Juneteenth. Otherwise, I'm going to start calling him the Hallmark Manager of the Year.
How about that?
Sox are also off today, and they start a three-game set with the Cardinals tomorrow. And they lost 2-1 to the Rangers to close out that series. The scores were as follows: 3-1 on Friday, 5-4 on Saturday, and then the 2-1 ball game. Sox are 4-19 in one run games.
Ew.
I don't think that necessarily surprises anybody when you consider that good bullpens, as we just illustrated, will set your team apart. They don't necessarily have that. It was nice to see Aaron Civale, though, in that game. He goes 5 innings, gave up 6 hits, 2 earned runs, 4 walks, 4 strikeouts. So when it comes to at least some progress from somebody they traded for getting to work quickly, that was at least nice to see, because the Sox need more of those pitchers to eat some innings.
I was very happy to see that Will Venable was kind of the story, too, for being ejected in some ways, because I was like, oh, signs of life from the manager of the Chicago White Sox, about whom I honestly don't know a lot about. Even before this day, like over the last couple of weeks, every once in a while, I think to myself, is Will Venable a good manager? Does anybody know yet? I mean, the Sox are 23-49. They've lost 5 straight games. It's been a bad year. Layla just talked about all the one-run losses they have so far this year. But I have no idea. I'm like asking you guys, Does anybody know if Will Venable is a good manager? What does he do well? Does he do anything well? Do we know? Does he have enough of a roster even to fairly evaluate him at this point, other than not being Pedro Grifol? Because, of course, anybody was going to restore a certain amount of order that took over for Pedro Grifol. So beyond that, is Will Venable a good manager or not? I have no idea.
Way I look at it is, number one, it is absolutely okay to compare where the White Sox are to their previous manager. Is it a case where they have the expectations where that manager needs to be the difference in playoffs or not making the playoffs? No, that's not what this is right now. So I am going to judge him against his predecessor, especially when you see how the roster, which was full of big name talent last year, didn't perform. And that is largely a group of players who got to the playoffs previously. And then you see what happened with the group that we have now, who is largely unproven. I think there are other pieces to it as well, is that he's having to fix some of what happened clubhouse-wise and work ethic-wise among some of the players, or at least production-wise. Look at what happened with Andrew Vaughn. We knew that was a statement when they sent him down. It was even more of a statement when he got traded. Perhaps the Brewers made even more of one because they're like, oh, Aaron Civale, you don't want to play here? Cool, we're going to trade you for Andrew Vaughn. But either way, I think he's being asked to do more with less, and you're not questioning the decisions as often.
I think the biggest thing for Will Venable is, whether or not he's a good manager, time will tell, but he is a good baseball man. You can look at his resume as not only a player, but also as a coach who's been on staffs of very successful managers, looking at his time with Bruce Bochy and others. I think that tells the story of a guy that has been entrusted to have certain beliefs. And normally I'd be like, the White Sox made him manager for a reason, but I've seen some of the decisions they've made with the White Sox managerial searches, so I can't put it on that. But I could say other people around baseball will tell you how good of a baseball man Will Venable is. Now, whether that leads to him being a good manager, I think the jury's still out on that, and appropriately so. I'm not going to jump to conclusions, but do they look better than last year? Yeah, they do, but the bar was very low.
If you even look at the average run differential right now year to year, the Sox have an average run differential of minus 0.9. Last year, it was minus 1.9. So that gives you an indication. They are a run better with lesser talent, arguably.
Arguably, yeah. God, I just think about all the... And I just wonder, too, if this is like how much the... Well, obviously, the front office is running this team more so than anybody because of this rebuild and who's coming up and who's going down. But I just think about the shocking, shocking lack of development of players that this organization has had over the last 5 years. With Andrew Vaughn being the latest guy, a guy who was a top three pick in the draft, and poof, is gone. I was thinking about Yoan Moncada, poof, and he's gone. Tim Anderson, poof, and he's gone. Eloy Jimenez, poof, he's gone. Luis Robert is on his way out. It's extraordinary to think about how bad the development has been.
Not just the development, but perhaps also the assessment.
But unfortunately, yes.
Largely because of the manager the last several years, we didn't get to see these people's full potential in their primes.
Yeah, Grifol was a disaster. That's part of why I'm asking the question about Will Venable, because anybody was going to look good relative. Like, minimal competency was cleaning up the clubhouse and getting some things straight.
I hate to say
sort
it.
Sort of like Ben Johnson.
I hate to say it. Minimal competence would have been not intentionally walking batters mid at bat multiple times with a playoff team.
Yeah.
It's not just one manager here, and that's why I do think having a somewhat non-factor of a manager is a factor.
Yeah, well, Pedro Grifol goes down as one of the worst managers in Chicago sports history.
Okay.
And the Sox have had a couple.
So with Will Venable, it'll be interesting to see exactly how good he can
Hawk
be
heard
from
that.
Here on out. No, I mean, because we have time, and I think they will get better. I'm still leaning on the whole they're going to be 500 in this stretch before the All-Star break. They have dug themselves quite the hole, though, out of the gate in making that path. But that's what I'm looking at. A reminder, you can listen all week for your chance to win a pair of general admission tickets to Windy City Smokeout on Saturday, July 12th, with performances by Kane Brown, Megan Maroney, and more. For tickets, visit WindyCitySmokeout.com. We have all been to the Smokeout, I'm assuming.
We have. You and I hung out last year.
I don't think I have, actually.
Yeah. It's a time.
Yeah, it sounds
it is
like
a time.
Sounds right up your alley, Marshall. You love just being around packs of people who are partying and drinking and carrying on.
Okay, you're mocking me.
Concert Marshall.
It's duly noted.
That's
it's
Marshall.
Duly noted.
I go to the Smokeout. I've been every year since I've lived here.
I've seen the photo, the famous photos, Layla.
Yeah, everything
at the
you just projected on me, you're really talking about her.
I'm outside. I go outside with the people. I was at street fests all weekend.
Good for
I like
you.
To be around people.
You're awesome like that. I love your extroverted summer Chicago personality.
Yeah, the pandemic was hard on an extrovert, man.
God,
yeah.
Every summer's a hot girl summer.
That's right. And that's right. It is a hot girl summer.
I mean,
walk outside right now.
Go take your hot girl walk.
Yeah. I mean, just
you
walk
know,
down
listen
Michigan
to the
Avenue.
Score on the app. See how that works?
Hey, baby, I'm listening to AM radio. What do you think?
Hi, would you like to listen to some AM radio?
Maybe your dad has heard of me.
Maybe your dad has heard of me.
Grandfather, uncle, you know.
I know the Kramers, Mr. and Mrs. Kramer. I know their grandparents, Doug Kramer's grandparents. Big fans of mine, by the way. I don't know if you guys know that.
I did not know that. How do we explain? I was going to try to segue out of it, but there's really no way.
I'm sorry,
the
Layla.
Former Bears head coach was not on AM radio, but he was on a podcast.
Bear.
Modern man.
In his comments regarding the way Caleb Williams watched film last year, I think it's fair that he spoke out after it. Matt Eberflus's response is next on The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.